You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Back to back with the Rio Grande, the Christian woman in the devil's land. She learned the language and she learned to fight, but she never learned how to beat the lonely night. Get lonesome, darling.
It's for Jack. There's a cover of Garth Brooks and Lonesome Dove. That is a good song. And oh, maybe that is Garth. In any event, that is the song, and Jack will be back with us at the end of this hour. Now, let me tell you, hadn't it been a good show tonight? Aren't they always fun when we're together? I think they are. I always enjoy them. I hope you do, too. I think a lot of you do, judging from the correspondence we've received from you, and we want every show to be a good show. We want to pour everything we have into each and every broadcast. We never want to leave anything on the table. We never want to just come in and punch the clock. We never want to mail it in. We never want to just show up and go through the motions and go through the routine. We try to give you the most thoughtful show based upon what we feel as though you might want to hear as we can. Each and every week we want to try to exceed expectations every Saturday night. We never want to jump the shark. And it's hard to do that when you have such good friends and such family and such great guests and talent like we have showcased to you this evening. Kevin McDonald there in the second hour. We told some truth in the first hour. Well, I guess we tell truth every hour. But we were setting the record straight on some lies that were being told in a book. And I think sometimes we need to put history into accord with the facts. I think that's the Barnes Review's old tagline. Well, that's what we did in the first hour. Keith was on for a minute in the first hour, the first segment, talking a little final wrap on the Kavanaugh confirmation. And Paul Nanlin with a surprise call from a Halloween party. He'll be back on with us next week, as will Richard Spencer. Then we got the big anniversary show on the 27th, 14 years old. Where will we go from here? We will find out together, will we not, ladies and gentlemen? But let me tell you something. Very quickly, before we dive into the third hour, we got another guest coming up. You probably heard from him before. We'll tell you who it is in the next segment. He's appeared on the show a time or two over the course of the last 14 years. Actually, he wasn't even booked to be on the show until about 5 minutes ago. I called him during the commercial break. He's ready to rock and roll, as he always is. We'll tell you who in about 5 minutes, 8 minutes, something like that, if you're listening to us live in real time. But let me tell you what I was doing today. I want to tell you this. I was in, for me, and it would only be for me, I guess, or maybe a handful of other people, I was in the most wonderful place in the world today. This morning, I woke up extra early on a Saturday morning, loaded up my wife and kids into the car. We picked up my mom, and we drove down to Thaxton, Mississippi. Thaxton, Mississippi. That is where my maternal grandparents are from. My mother's mother and father are from Thaxton, Mississippi. And if you don't know where that is, and you probably don't, it's a population of about 600 in rural Pontotoc County, Mississippi. I love that place more than I could possibly tell you. That's where my people are from. I've told you the story before. My grandparents on both sides. My dad's side is from Corinth. My mom's side is from Thaxton. And both from Mississippi. Both sides had men who fought in the war, trying to protect their homes and hearths. That's the blood I've got coursing through my veins, ladies and gentlemen. But anyway, my grandparents, my dad's parents and my mom's parents, they both moved up to Memphis in the 1950s for work, because Memphis is the nearest big city to Corinth and Thaxton, respectively. And it was a different world in 1950. Memphis was a different town, and by far for the better in the 1950s when my grandparents moved up here to start their families. My parents were born in Memphis, and I'm a second-generation Tennessean. But my roots are in Mississippi, going back to and before the war between the states. And every time I go down to Mississippi, especially every time I go back down to Corinth or to Thaxton, I feel like I'm at home because I am. That's where my grandparents grew up. And I was there today. My mother's maiden name is McGregor. How great of a name is that? So I was at the McGregor family reunion today. That's my mom's side down in Thaxton. There was no place in the world I would rather be today than visiting the haunts where my grandparents grew up. So proud. I am so proud of my Scots-Irish Southern roots. And I was down there at this little city hall, it's not even a city, I mean, 600 people, town hall. I was there at this gym that my grandfather played at. My grandfather was part of the senior class at Thaxton High School in 1950. And I think there's about 10 people in that class. And that gym, I've got a picture of it up on Twitter, actually. This gym looks like something out of the movie Hoosiers. It's this wooden backboard. It's the same gym, the same bleachers that he played basketball at when he was in high school in the late 40s and in 1950. And we went to the old houses and we went to the old land and we walked the land that he grew up on. We are a people who come from this soil. It is a blood and soil nation just like any others, and it's especially beautiful and romantic and powerful to be a Southerner, to walk the land that your grandparents farmed, to walk the land that they fought to defend. And I was there today, and God help me, I loved it. I always love it. I love seeing that Mississippi state flag flying proudly in the wind. I love seeing that Confederate battle flag. I love being with my people. And I had a great time today with my mom, with my kids, showing them the graves, going and visiting the graves. We have to remember who we are. I love taking my kids to the graves of their great-great-grandparents. They never knew them, but they are alive. They live within them. They live within me. And that's something we're never going to forget. And that's something you should never forget. Always remember who you are. Remember who your ancestors are. I love going down there. Extraordinarily proud of my family's way of life. I go back to my childhood when I revisit that tiny community center in which so many of our reunions were held. It looks like it did my earliest memories. These senior class photos still hang on the wall. Now, these haven't been schools in decades. They're just community centers now. But the senior class photos of all of these classes still hang on the wall. I can see what my grandfather looked like in 1950, what my grandmother looked like in 1950. Things don't change much in Mississippi, which is one of the state's most endearing qualities. I have said this before. I've said it in speeches. I've said it on the air. I would rather be on one of those red dirt roads in Mississippi than strolling through the streets of Times Square. That is honest to God. And that's why those who hate us can't understand our unwillingness to abandon our customs and our symbols and our family and our heritage and our history. This is who we are. It's personal. Go to your family reunions, ladies and gentlemen. Be with your family. Be with your family while you can. Go to the places where you came from. Lay a flower at the graves of your ancestors. Remember them, honor them, live like them, fight for them. Never forget. Never surrender. We'll be back right after this.
Good sense, innocence. Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I ask you, what is the KQ? You know, the kosher question. Most Americans will spend their entire lifetime purchasing food from the supermarkets while having no idea that almost every packaged food product on the grocery shelves is certified kosher. Indeed, the kosher question encompasses not only food and religion, but also affects our economics, politics, and our identity. In an effort to promote awareness to the kosher question, developers have published an app for your smartphone that features a database of food products that have not been kosher certified. The Kosher-tified app has prominent advertisement on TPC's homepage, or you can check out its website at thekosherquestion.com. With the cesspool of politics getting even deeper these days, why not leave the swamp and start eating in favor of your own interests? Check out thekosherquestion.com today and download the app.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
Okay, folks, we're back getting ready to wrap up the show tonight, coming down to the last half hour or so. And I got a good friend, to say the least, a good friend on with me right now who wasn't even scheduled to be on the show tonight at all. I called him literally about 10 minutes ago, just out of the blue, out of nowhere. He could have been doing anything and could have been busy. But we got him. He was on my mind during the commercial break. I said, let's call him up. David Duke is back with us tonight. There's a couple of reasons I wanted to have David on. Number one, I was looking at the schedule. And it looks like if we have David on one or two more times, nobody else who's been on this year can catch him. He's been on quite a few times this year, but they've all been great shows. And also, David, I was talking a little bit in the first hour, reminiscing once again about our legendary 2008 conference in Memphis. Good times then, good times now, good times in between. How are you tonight?
I'm fine. In fact, I was just heading over to the lakefront. My genealogist is in town. She's a really fine lady who's she's doing a book on my genealogy. She's finding I have a very interesting European genealogy, and she's trying to do a book on it. I guess people are interested in not, I guess not famous people, but infamous people.
Hey, that depends on the perspective.
Well, that's right. It's all the perspective. That's for sure. Often people come up to me because I'm so well known in America. I've been in so many headlines. I'll say, "Oh, you're that rich and famous David Duke," and I say, "Nope, you got me wrong. I'm that poor and infamous David Duke."
Hey, I got to tell you something. It's so interesting you mentioned, and you actually did tell me that on the phone a moment ago. I'm glad you shared it with the audience that you're with a genealogist and you're researching your genealogy and tracing back your roots. I was just talking with everyone a moment ago before we brought you on. I was actually down with Danny today and the kids at a family reunion for my mom's side down in rural Mississippi. We drove down there early this morning, got back literally about 30 minutes before the show started. But to me, and I know you feel the same way, such great pride being able to visit the graves of my great-grandparents. And even though my children can never know them, it still means so much to me to be able to teach them about who they were and raise them into the same traditions that were handed down to me. Now, these were great people in every way that one can be great. And so I take my role as a husband and a father very seriously. It's hugely important to me that my children be raised to be these Christian people, these proud Southerners who love their family, their ancestors from whence they came. And I think, obviously, we should all have that deep respect and reverence for our culture, for our people, for our past. And anytime people talk about genealogy, it really perks me right up.
Yeah, it's really interesting, and I think it's real important for our people to, with the DNA studies that you can do now, especially Ancestry.com, 24andMe has been trying to insert non-white genes into white people's genomes. I mean, just it's totally fake.
I heard about that recently.
Yeah, for them not to identify with their own people. But, you know, it never really has. Race has never really been about exact purity. I mean, it is true that you have a night and you have daytime and you have also a twilight. It's really not about purity. It's just simply about our overwhelming genetic heritage and who we are, who we identify with. And I was thinking about what you were saying earlier, in fact, the last couple of days very deeply. And I was thinking, you know, and the interesting thing is the genealogist, she's been really researching my genealogy, and I have a very easily researchable one. I had a couple ancestors on the Mayflower, you know, and so I'm related to Ben Franklin's line and many other lines. And so it's easy to trace my ancestry even back to Europe and even back to the Middle Ages. I actually have, you know, a great-great-great-great-great-grandfather, 30 generations, you know, back, who was one of the first kings of Hungary, who actually ran the Huns out of Hungary. I'm related to Charles Martel. He was a great-grandfather. Rollo, who was one of the Viking princes. And these are, you know, I never knew some of this material at all. I was related to St. Margaret, Queen of Scots, or the Scottish Queen. And
wow.
Like, and I was thinking, you know, this is really great. I mean, it's nice to know, and I thought, you know, it's something that I really can't feel pride for because I had really nothing to do with it. I was lucky because of who my parents were and what my ancestry was. But you know what? It makes me feel a great responsibility. It makes me feel, and it reinforces the idea that I got to be loyal to that heritage, because what we are, what you are, what your wife, Danny, and your children are, is our line, the existence of our form of life, our expression of humanity to go on. And that's what life is all about. That's what the whole evolutionary idea is. It's about every kind of life on Earth strives to exist and to pass their genes on. So knowing these things, you know, I'm very, 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 you know, happy to know that my ancestors did some great things. And it kind of makes me realize maybe this was my destiny to do what I've done, being, I guess, the best known white activist in the world. But at the same time, what it really does for me is it really just encourages me to realize the responsibility I have with this heritage to make sure that this heritage goes on.
Well, David, that was powerful. I appreciate you sharing that. And you're right, obviously, that our inheritance is a wonderful gift, and it's not a gift that is frivolous or one to be played with fast and loose. This is a gift that extends for millennia, that has remained intact. Our bloodline, our cultural heritage, everything that makes us who we are, our very DNA, that is something that can be traced back. I mean, as far back as we can trace, and certainly even further than that. And this is something that everyone has when we're talking about people like me and you and so many people in our audience, all of our ancestors valued that, obviously, quite a lot, because we still maintain that. And we can't give that away. We have to maintain it going forward. That is our duty. And I think we're duty bound to maintain that honor and that integrity. And it is. I mean, yes, I mean, you could say on one hand, we had nothing to do with it. We were born and then there we were. But at the same time, we can still take a lot of pride in it and should.
We are our ancestors. We are those men and women that came before us. We carry their genetic code of life beauty they have in them, the greatness they have in them. We carry their experiences. We carry the fact, vibe. Just think about the fact, everybody out there listening, just think about the fact that if you, just one of your ancestors, 10,000 generations back, one of them wouldn't have produced you when they did, if they would have died before you were created and you were put on in the genes and carried on in the births, you wouldn't be here. And everything that you treasure and everything you hold dear and everything that you love and everything you admire and all the traits that you have inside of you that are born into you, they wouldn't even be there. When you start thinking about that, man, it's a weighty thought, isn't it? But it's a magnificent thought to think, and it makes it feel so special. My God, that, you know, it was almost a miracle that we're here the way we are here. And another thing, over the past few weeks, we've seen the Kavanaugh hearings and we've seen the stuff that's going on and the vicious attacks upon white males and white people in general. And I believe they're attacking white women, too. I mean, feminism is an attack on white women. You know, it's not Hollywood who has tried to convert pigs and whores and druggies and all the rest of it, right? And we got to realize they want to destroy us. They want to wipe out us off the face of the earth. In a biblical sense, they want to wipe us from the earth. Did you ever see the movie Last of the Mohicans?
I did. Yes, Daniel Day-Lewis.
Remember when Magua, who was the he was like one of the Indians, and he was trying to wipe out the seed of
Hold on right there, my friend. Hang on. We're coming up on a break, and I don't want you to get mid-thought and then us have to go to the hard break and you get cut off. We're going to continue with Dr. David Duke and Last of the Mohicans right after the break.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Traveler's Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Back on for one more segment. He's out the lakefront researching his genealogy tonight. He's got his own genealogist. I had to go to Ancestry.com. Although I did appreciate, you were talking about this a moment ago, David, the, we didn't use 23andMe. Who did we use? We used the other one. Ancestry.com.
Ancestry.com, I would recommend that as the better one. And also, when you do that, you can, for free, you can take that and you can match it up to your actual DNA profile, your gene, all your individual genes online. And you can actually search for like medical conditions or things that you're suffering from or not suffering from or different. You want to know your propensity to Alzheimer's or your propensity to whatever, macular degeneration or anything else, or diabetes. You can actually see the genes you have that are more susceptible to those diseases than not. So it's a great tool. You can use it for every member of your family, too, and it gives you a chance to affect your destiny in terms of how your health is by knowing what your proclivities are in terms of your genetic ancestry.
Well, that's fascinating. I was, of course, proud of my ancestry. You know, Danny came back as well. I don't guess this should be any surprise. 100% European as well, and to be down there in Mississippi today in the rural South, it is a totally different world. You get out of these big Southern cities now that aren't that Southern at all anymore, especially places like Memphis and Atlanta. You go just an hour into the rural country, it's a different world. It's the land that time forgot in the best possible way. 100% European, just fantastic Southern people. Anyway, so we got
a great people. We got beautiful people, and our children are so.
And I
guess everybody's children, no matter what race they have in the world, everybody's children are precious in their own eyes, and our children are precious in our eyes, the way they look, and the way they're like our parents were when they were babies, and our grandparents, and our great grandparents, 1,000 generations back. And I was talking about this movie, Last of the Mohicans, which is interesting.
Yeah, let's get back to that.
It was about the experiment or the ending of the Mohican people, who were basically destroyed by other Indian groups, like the Hurons and other Indian groups that conquered them. And but one of the guys in the English, because the Hurons and the Mohicans but the Hurons were fighting with the English, Magua, who was a Huron. He was upset because the English, his wife married somebody else because she thought he was dead, and his children were killed in the fighting or whatever. He said that he wiped out the genes of the two daughters of the colonel at the fort, of the British fort, was Colonel Monroe. His two daughters wanted to wipe their genes off the earth, and he wanted to make sure that they're not their genes. He said their seed is wiped from the earth, so he'd never have any descendants. You know what? That is a perfect analogy to what's happening today. These people who run our media, these people who run our government, they wipe our seed off the earth. They want us to be poor. Ultimately, they want to take our children from us, just like they're doing in Europe somewhat. People of nationalists, they're healthy or Christians, taking your kids from you like you're evil. They want to get our kids on drugs. They want to screw up kids with pornography and drugs and homosexuality and every sort of other degeneracy imaginable. They want to get us killed in these wars. They want to get us broke. They want to have us without jobs. They want to take our home, our families, everything. We are in a battle for our survival. And this is something that we've got to understand deep in our bones, and we have to fight hard. If we don't do that, then all the sacrifices of our parents and grandparents and great-grandparents and the great ancestors who made America, who built civilization out of the wilderness. It came out of the Ice Ages and built Western Christian civilization. All those sacrifices they made to make it possible for us to be here, all those would be lost without meaning. I mean, we have such an obligation, not just for ourselves, not just for our individual lives, our individual kids, but even all those people who came before us. We have such a duty to prevail in this fight, to survive our people, save our people.
Brother, we have got to do more impromptu interviews going forward because, I mean, literally, ladies and gentlemen, I called David 2 minutes before he came on the air, and he wasn't even scheduled. He's with a genealogist. He's on the lakefront, and he came on a moment's notice and cranked out this fantastic, inspiring commentary, as he has been known to do for the last 50-plus years, and we're all the better because of it. But, yes, indeed, it has and we didn't even know what we were going to talk about. I just said, just hop on. We'll see what happens. And he agreed to it.
Every day of my life, you know, this is I take this in like I drink water, you know, like I eat food, like I sleep. I mean, my life has been about this since I was 13 years old, and I found my purpose and my meaning in my life. And it's been a hard life in many ways. It's been many trials and many sufferings and many disappointments and so forth, but it also has been an incredible journey, and I've met people like you, and I don't want you to get too embarrassed here, but like you and Danny, I just love you to death. You guys are so dedicated, and you're such an example for all of us, and I really appreciate you, and I appreciate all of these great patrons I've met in my life. And by the way, I did a show with JF the other night, John Francois. He's a Canadian good guy. He does the public space. But you know what? The YouTube is already deep six. They already what they call it, put it in a limited state, which means nobody can share it because it's such a good video. You can't rate it because all the ratings was like 99% positive. You can't say it's against community standards. There's no hatred in it. I was exposing the terrorism of the Saudis, right, and exposing the fact that our government has been aiding the Saudis. Who our own government in the 28 pages of the conference between the House and the Senate of the United States government, our own government is the Saudi prince and princes and intelligence were behind along, you know, Bin Laden, who was a Saudi, along with these other hijackers and along with the money that was paid. This was an official government paper. After a year's investigation after 9/11, of course, Israel had a lot to do with it too, by the way. The interesting thing is our own government did this in a paper. This was in 2002 this came out. This was hidden from the American people from 2002, a year after 9/11, to 2016, when it was finally released, the 28 pages, which said the foreign government that did this crime to us was Saudi Arabia, and yet here we are, giving them billions of dollars worth of weapons, selling the weapons to them, and supporting them in their crimes against the Syrian Christians and the Palestinian Christians, and you know, and supporting ISIS and Al-Qaeda terrorism all over Europe and all over the world. We have such treason in our government, it's just beyond human belief. And because I did a show where I even quoted this stuff, this video was no hatred in it. This video was, I quoted publications in Israel where they said they supported ISIS. I quoted publication, major media I'm talking about. The same thing, I talked about the latest killings of this guy named Khashoggi in Turkey where they dismembered him and cut him up because he was critical. And yet it was our government that has supported this criminal, vicious, violent, Islamic, radical, jihadist state. And I did make the point, again, this is an important point we got to continue to remember. You know, it's people say all the time, well, we got problems with radical Islamism. Well, of course we do. And we want to maintain ourselves as Christian countries, both here and in Europe, the lands of our ancestors. But the fact is that it's not the Islamics that open the borders for their brethren. It was the Zionists who control our media and our government. It wasn't the Islamics who in Hollywood, they don't control Hollywood. It wasn't those guys who taught us to hate ourselves and hate our own children, or our children to hate their parents and want to see the death of our very society. It wasn't them that did that. We have to understand who has directed this against us. We've got to fight the immigration, as I always have my whole life, but we also have to understand who did this to us, and that's the enemy that we have to thwart and we have to conquer. And if we don't remove these tyrants who control our media, control the funding of our politics, like Goldman Sachs, for instance, if we don't do that, then we're going to perish from the earth, and our genealogy and our seed will be wiped from the earth, and our children will have no future. What a responsibility we have in front of us, my friend.
We have a great responsibility, and we have come from great people over many, many, many thousands of years. And, folks, if what Dr. Duke was touching on right now rings a bell for you, follow him. DavidDuke.com.
Twitter?
DavidDuke.com.
Yeah. Yeah, David Duke,
or Twitter.
You get a link for the video, and you can watch the JF show, but you have to just go, you have to click on it's okay to see disturbing material. And you can also go to Twitter, Dr. David Duke, Dr. David Duke, and hey. You can link there. And I want to hear from you guys and everybody out there, and I appreciate y'all, I love y'all, and without your nice support and your friendship, people like you, Danny, and your wonderful wife, I really probably would have burnt out a long time ago. It's people like...
Well, we're not going to let that happen. And I tell you, I know you're doing genealogy tonight. Find your genes that are related to Charles Martel. Tell the hammer we say hello.
I have a great...
Take care, brother.
With my great-grandfather, 30...
If Planned Parenthood were what they publicly declare themselves to be, they would welcome transparency. We all know why they hide, because we know what they hide. We can confirm federal judges who follow the Constitution rather than reverse engineer their preferred policy outcomes. The truth about abortion is spreading because of advances in medical imaging, because of brave journalists, tireless activists, compassionate doctors, nurses, and other healthcare professionals. The rising generation of young Americans is the most pro-life in decades because they know too. And one day soon, we will reaffirm our nation's principles in their dignified fullness and avow once again that all men are created equal. All are entitled to life.
So, you love talk radio? Then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
TalkRight, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. TalkRight makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download TalkRight today from Google Play or the App Store.
Abby Johnson was once director of a Planned Parenthood clinic in Bryan, Texas. After a moral crisis, she quit, and now she campaigns against what she once endorsed.
They implement abortion quotas in all of their clinics.
What do you mean, quotas?
You have to perform a certain number of abortions every month. One of the reasons that I left...
Are they explicit about that?
Yes. It's in your budget, right there on the line item. One of the reasons I left Planned Parenthood was because in a budget meeting, I was told to double that abortion quota. And for me, as someone who had spoken to the media and had said, you know, we're about reducing the number of abortions, we're about, you know, prevention, all of these other services, I was shocked.
So since you actually worked at a Planned Parenthood, give us some sense of the relative number of abortions.
Okay, abortions, Planned Parenthood provides over 330,000 abortions a year. They are the largest single abortion provider in our country.
I guess let's just start talking at some point here this segment. But that's good stuff, Jack. You know, I thought that that was a cover of the Brown Eyed Girl that we know so well, but it's a totally different song.
Yeah, but they're both beautiful, great songs. And I like the Van Morrison. I like the partner dance I talked in the Southern dance of shagging, or my dance of Sir Rock, Sailor Rock is really good to Van Morrison. But that Isley Brothers Brown Eyed Girl, man, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful song.
Well, it is. It is. I mean, I don't think, you know, and I know the Isley Brothers. I mean, I don't know them personally, but I know their music. But they, you know, I had not heard that song. Even me, the oldies aficionado that I am, and I don't listen to hardly any music outside of the 50s and 60s. But that, the good stuff. And so a totally different song from the Brown Eyed Girl that we know so well by Van Morrison. I just figured it was the Isley Brothers cover. When I told Sam Brown Eyed Girl, I just figured Van Morrison, right? But, okay, so there's Jack educating me tonight along with the rest of the audience. Good stuff. And, so what a great show it's been tonight, Jack. And, of course, you're always a big part of so many great shows.
You.
And we're coming up. Well, you're welcome, and thank you for lending us your talent every Saturday night. Couple of weeks, we're going to be on our 14th anniversary show, 2 weeks from tonight, 14 years on the air, October 26, 2004. We went on the air. We'll be on the air this year, the way Saturdays fall, October 27th, which is my son's birthday. My son will turn four on the on October 27th. So there's a great time of year, right before Halloween. Leaves are changing. Weather's cooler, better. Fantastic. So we look forward to having you on that show, Jack, and celebrating the anniversary with you, because you've become such an integral part of our crew over the course of the last year. And yes, you're indeed. You're welcome, and thank you. But Brown Eyed Girl, you know, I you know what I find attractive is, you know, I'm blonde hair and blue eyed. I actually like.
You're bald. You're blonde hair. You're bald. Come on. You don't have any hair. I used to have blonde hair, but we're kind of.
Yeah. Well, me and you both, brother, by the way. But before the before the testosterone burned off both of all of our hair, I was blonde. I still have the blue eyes. It didn't take that from me. But yes, I can't grow hair anymore.
That's what they used to call me in South Side Chicago, ancient Islam. You devil, you. I kind of liked it. Blue-eyed devil was kind of something I couldn't.
You know, there's nothing wrong with being a little devilish in certain capacities. Right. But you know what I find attractive is a blonde-haired girl with brown eyes, because that's a little more rare, but I think that's attractive. But what I really like is what I married, a brown-haired girl with hazel eyes, obviously, because my wife has a little bit of green, a little bit of blue, brown hair, olive complexion. I did good, and...
I think you did very good. Yeah.
Well, thank you.
That's because you didn't date some bitter, miseducated Northern Yale Law School. I'm not going to say the term, but it rhymes with witch, like Hillary Rodham Clinton. So I hang out in all these places, these just rough, bitter places, Ivy League women, like big city. It's right. It's like, I look at the city, it's so violent. Okay, last week in Chicago, shot and killed 13, shot and wounded 32, total shots 45, total homicides 14. That sounds pretty bad, but this violent hostility, the women are actually worse than these gang people. They're more hostile, they're more mean, they're more vindictive. And if I want to give some tips, I don't know if I have time enough for our young people, so how to survive these women in these big cities, because there's nothing fair about the fairer sex in these upper places here. It's not. It's rough.
Well, we talked about that. I actually talked about that with JF on the public square. I think David was right. It has been a great show tonight, by the way. Not Jack's two segments, obviously, but we've also had in the second hour Kevin McDonald. Third hour, just a moment ago, obviously David Duke talking about family, talking about genealogy. And then in the first hour, we had a surprise call from Paul Nalen from a Halloween party. And Paul is going to be back with us next week. So it has been a fantastic show. And it all came together really on the fly because I only learned yesterday that Keith Alexander would only be able to join us for a segment tonight because he had a conflicting engagement tonight. And then Eddie the Bombardier Miller, I didn't know what's going to be coming on until the third hour. Until just before the show. And we filled it more than capably with McDonald and Duke. Great shows tonight. And Jack's been a big part of that. But we were talking about that with earlier as well. And I was talking about it on the public square and the public space rather, and Duke was just on that. But I was talking about these women. I mean, these women need a strong hand, and they will. I said this on the interview. Francis Parker Yockey had the best quote. I don't have it pulled up this time. I'll have to go from memory. I think I can do it though. Francis Parker Yockey with regards to feminism. And I actually said this on a Swedish reality show that I was on last year, that aired in Sweden on. It was a Warner Brothers production. But Yockey said that feminism robbed women of the natural dignity of their sex and turned them into inferior men. And that's certainly true. And I think any honest woman who goes through her life, who wastes her youth and the peak of her attractiveness on feminism and then dies bitter and lonely and wrinkled. I think they would say that was a wasted life if they're being honest. But these women, they can be saved, but they have to be saved by men. They need to come under the authority of a man who knows how to handle a woman. And so many of our men have been cowed into thinking, white men especially thinking, which is what I'm talking about, white men thinking that they're inferior, that they should feel guilty, and it's bled into their aggressiveness with women, I think. And then of course the whole Me Too movement only compounds things further. A lot of things for a young man to work through, but you can do it, and when you do it, they will respond. Trust me.
Right.
Your take, Jack.
Yeah, this is true, but I'm also, and I've been in some rough places, university towns, and Stern, New York University MBA program, number one program in America. Yeah, right. Not a lot of fun traditional girls there. I've been at New Haven, Connecticut, Yale University, Cambridge, Massachusetts, Harvard, University of Chicago. They've actually had some, these for a long time, they've got some good-looking women at the University of Chicago. I've been in these places, and frankly, I believe in witches. I really do. I think that those witches accused in Salem, Massachusetts, I don't think that they were all innocent. You know, and this other thing that demonic possession, that gal that destroyed the Miss America contest, what was her name?
Gretchen Wilson.
Oh, look at her, yeah. her book, Be Fierce, Stop Harassment and Take Your Power Back. She went in and took over the Miss America contest, and she bullied everyone that was traditional band swimsuit contest. You look at her eyes there, you know, that is a mean, demonic witch that you have got to deal with that there. And so, I don't know, I've got some other, my best advice, so if I could go a whole hour to help these people. But my advice for young men in such situations, if you want to live your life like an Australian rugby player or Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson, you don't want these women, your loyalty should be to your mates, your men. Yeah, there's women coming to the keg party or something, and if she wants to marry and give you like five healthy kids, good. Hey, that's great. But you do not want these women in your life taking over your boards, your churches. They are rough. I swear that these black gang members in Chicago are nicer people. They're more respected of your private property. they're just more fun to hang out with than these women. I've cooked hundreds of dinner parties. I've never had a college miseducated big city nor the women ever make me a sandwich. So you just have to accept the way it is and don't let them ruin your life and live a good life. But there's other women in the world. There's some Ukrainian women in Chicago that they can clean your place. Nice girls that will clean your place. And then you could, don't date these college women in your MBA. Date the Ukrainian cleaner. They make better girlfriends, wife. There's other women in the world, and just, there's a lot of fish in the sea, and it doesn't have to be this satanic witches. At that Kavanaugh hearing, it wasn't liberals against conservatives, Democrats against Republicans. It was just these vicious women that are just obsessed, that they're obsessed that somewhere some man is having a good time having a beer in college. I mean, give us a break. So that's the world we live in, but we're good people. We're fun people. We're nice people, but we're not cowardly. We're not going to let these witches destroy our lives. So that's my tip tonight.
Hey, Jack, I like this thing. You went to halftime. You came back with a whole other segment. We've done two segments tonight in two different hours. But let me tell you something, folks. You want to find a wife. Yes, you can go to church and find one. That's where I found mine. Go to the rural South. Go to the. They'll be in church there, too. I mean, they'll be in church there.
I'm coming off.
Undoubtedly. Nothing looks better than a girl from Mississippi. I'm going to tell you right now, Nothing's better than Mississippi Girl. Not Georgia, not South Carolina, not Florida, Mississippi. Jack, thank you. We'll be back next week. Good night, everybody.
Or to make a donation to keep this program on the air, go to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.